think about the 2023 contest a lot, you know. I think about Liverpool and just how welcoming that city was. It's such a beautiful memory for me. The whole place feeling energised and proud that the Eurovision Song Contest was being hosted there. And all the love for Ukraine, who they were putting it on behalf of. It just felt a very special year for Eurovision. And personally, I remember being backstage and just smiling for those 2 weeks, seeing all the interaction between the artists and the fans and the delegations and the press, and just how much they all embraced it. I remember seeing Joker out all the time. They're probably the act that I saw the most. You couldn't turn around without seeing a member of a Slovenian band. Another really vivid memory is from the turquoise carpet event at St. George's Hall. And I think it was Loreen was having her official portrait taken in the big room there. And there are these cinema style seats all around the main floor. And all the other artists were waiting their turn to take their photo. And I was sat at the back and I remember seeing Karia, Taya and Selena, Tvorchi from Ukraine were there, Voyager as well, just laughing, chatting, getting on. And that is the warmth of Eurovision. Another memory is on the night of the final, I remember being side of stage, waiting to interview Loreen just after she'd been given the trophy. And this is too much information, I'm sorry, but I was sweating so much because I'd run from another part of the arena. And I was just thinking, she's going to wonder, who is this dripping man? I was dripping. But then you realise she has just won Eurovision for a second time. She's not going to care. And what an amazing achievement for her. That song, Tattoo, just flew, didn't it, everywhere around Europe. A huge hit. The reason that we're going to be in Malmö next year, and more proof about what this contest does and the power of Eurovision. For this final episode of the podcast this year, I have been to Amsterdam to the Het Grote Song Festival Feest concert. It is a huge Eurovision party where acts from all across the years perform their biggest songs. Loads of them have been on the podcast before, so it was nice to say hello in person to people like Emily DeForest, to see Cornelia Jacobs again, to see Rosalind. And you're going to hear on this episode from four of our favourites. So from the class of 2023, it is Karia for Finland, it is Alessandra for Norway, and Alika from Estonia. All of them got into the top 10 this year. And then from the class of 2022, it is Andre from Romania, formerly known as Urs, but you will know the song. Hola, my bebe, of course. So let's start with the guy who has had an incredible year, cha-cha-charing all over Europe. It is Karia, and our interview got interrupted by a Eurovision champion. So let's find out who. Hi, Karia.
Hi.
How do you feel being the most famous Finnish person in the world now?
I'm not sure I'm the most famous Finnish person, but of course, I right now I know many people, the other country, they know who is Karia, and of course, it's mean a lot. It's so nice to see how people, you know, try to learning how to speak Finnish. They wanna come in Finland. That's mean a lot.
Does it feel strange that a year ago none of this had happened? You were obviously about to enter UMK, it was about to happen, and then it did, and it went so well.
I remember when we do it, the cha-cha-cha song, the first demo version, and I remember I just thinking, okay, maybe this is the song when people know who is Karia. That was my dream, because I like, you know, performance. Do a lot of gigs. I love it. But of course, everything what happened for me, I'm just thinking, what happened for me and how, you know? Because this thing, what happened, it's every day not happen.
And this summer,
you've been doing festivals, huge shows all around Finland, all around Europe. What's that been like?
You know, when you, I remember time when I don't have a lot of the gigs, and I waiting when I get one gigs or something, and I get it, and I go to stage, and I see the people, I enjoy. And this year, because all festival in Finland and something in other country wants to carry, when that's happened every day, and you see every day the people who love you, who screaming your name, screaming your song, then happens the thing. That's the, okay, that's the, my life right now. I enjoy, and it's amazing to see people who sing my song in Finland and European. And that's a little bit funny. Maybe I do something right.
I came to see you in London, and you're really funny as well. You're like a comedian, and you get given loads of things on stage. Everyone wants to give you presents. You had a funny crown,
yeah.
Lots of cuddly toys. What else have you been given on stage?
Oh my God, a lot of things. Underwear and... The people give the present and everything. And I'm a... Oh my God, you don't have to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Just enjoy the life show. You don't have to give anything for me, but of course, it's nice. Sometimes I give nice presents. What I put it, my wall, my home wall, you know?
So you've got a home wall full of gifts?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of things. But it's a one room, I can't close it, you know? Because I don't want to see in my everyday of life the carrier. You know, I don't want to forget, but something like that, you know, because I need my time.
I think a lot of people's favorite thing at Eurovision was the romance between you and Boyan from Joker Out. You basically found your husband, your life partner, your wife for life. How much does Boyan mean to you?
I have to say, Boyan means for me a lot. Boyan is one of my best friends, really. And that's the weird because, you know, I remember first time when we meet the Boyan, my English, it's not so good. We just watching, you know, we think, who is this guy? We just starting to talk. We think the same, you know, in life. We like the same things and we have same energy and we want to do the same. Yeah, we want to do the same things. And, we love the music, we love the people, we love the family, and maybe that's the thing why we love together, you know.
But you have had to deal with his dirty underwear.
That's happened for me, but the story is, I don't know how Boyan left to all show underwears and everything, my house, and I remember I have just washing, and... They smell like really. I have to maybe five times for washing.
Has he got them back now?
No, it's the everything is my house right now. But I have to send it.
You have to send. Well, no, you'll see him soon. Surely you hang out all the time.
Yeah, but you know, Boyan is busy. I'm busy. I hope we find a time when we can relax and hang out. But I don't know yet when is this time, but I hope it's coming soon.
On the grand final night, what is your most vivid memory of that evening?
Your final night? Oh, bad question, because a lot of things happened. I remember when I going to cry to toilet.
You went to the toilet to cry?
Yeah, yeah.
Before or after?
After when everybody knows who wins, and something happens, you know, I see Lauren win, and I'm done, you know, and I go to cry, and yeah.
But then you realized what you had done in terms of winning like the public vote and everyone loving you.
Yeah, of course, but you know, when that all things happens and you put it all your focus to performance and doing your best and you not win, something, you know, blow up. And after that, Of course, right now I'm okay. Yeah. I'm not crying, and I'm thinking that's the my way, and that thing happened for me.
Norway.
Oh, I love you.
A winner, yeah. A winner of Eurovision.
Really, thank you,
God,
thank you.
Marine is good too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hell of a competition.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying that Elizabeth from Bobby Sox is interrupting our interview.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
No, I'm only joking.
It's okay. I must say it was wonderful.
You can come here. No worry.
Really nice.
So you think he should have won?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love Lorraine too.
Yeah,
it's so hard. I mean, both deserve to win. But you win anyway, because you're the biggest hit. You know, it doesn't matter. You don't have to win. But if you have a strong number and a strong artist
and a
very green jacket, then you win.
Elizabeth, I hope you've got a green bolero jacket, have you?
I have a pink one.
A pink one.
Yeah.
Wow. He can be his backing dancer.
Yeah.
And a green bra.
And a green bra.
Bye-bye.
She's the original.
She won Eurovision.
Yeah, I know. And she win. And it's okay. But right now...
You're in a good place.
Yeah, it's a good place. And, you know, this is the life. And it's not so... it's not so important, you know. Of course, everybody wants to win, but right now I'm okay, and I love Lorraine.
Everyone's a winner. You made an impact. It was brilliant, and the Finns and the whole of Europe loves you.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, of course, and I take it. You know, that's the biggest thing. What happened for me? Many people like it and vote me, and I just want to say thank you, everybody.
It's so nice. From our first interview on Zoom months ago, and it was like your English was good, but your English now is like amazing.
Thank you. I'm not training, maybe I remember when I do the first interview. I'm not scaring. It's a little bit hard because in Finland I don't have anybody friends who speak English. And right now I have Alessandra, I have Bojan, you know. And that's why maybe I speak right now better English.
Carrier, thank you.
Thank you.
Alessandra, hi.
Hey.
It's so good to see you. It's been 6 months since the final.
Yeah.
Have you finally had a chance to stop and breathe?
Fortunately, I don't stop breathing because that would be...
you would die.
Yeah, I would probably do that. No, but I have been... I think the secret is to learn how to breathe like in a good way, even though there is a lot of maybe energy around you. I think that's the secret, and not stop to breathe, but like... Of course, you need that too.
Of course.
But you also, like, I think you need to know how to just relax, even maybe if you're around, like, in a crowd. You need to know that. That's meditating.
It is. And did you do that after the grand final? You came fifth. Well done. Congratulations. It was an amazing result. But because it had been so intense, did you have a moment after the final where you went on holiday or, like, chilled out with your friends?
I tried to go on holiday in Italy, where I come from, but that was not a holiday, because when you go on a holiday, you go where people don't know you. I think it was the wrong place to go, but that's been up. Like, I love being with my friends and my family and everything. Maybe to relax, I needed to go somewhere else, you know.
Did you get recognized?
Not only that, but that was like only cute, you know, when people recognize you. That was super sweet. It was more maybe the fact that I was around my friends and my family all the time. So then, of course, you feel like you need to give something, you know, rather than maybe be in the Bahamas and just relaxing, you know.
No. On a beach with nobody around, just yourself.
Just hearing my breathing.
Just hearing your breathing. Don't breathe. Don't stop. Like, please, don't die.
It just, like, Eurovision just stopped. And I... Like Eurovision, Limpi, so my music school, MGP too, because like, I did not even realize that stopped, you know? And me living in Italy, like so much stuff ended, you know? And then I was just there and I was like, okay, interesting. Like, what is now, you know?
Was it like the longest dream? And then you woke up and then, oh, almost. Did that just happen?
Yeah, almost. I would say that. Like, it was super, like, I think you just need to, as I was saying, like, take it in, embrace everything and then continue to work. Yeah.
Well, you released a new song, Pretty Devil?
Yeah, I released like 3 songs now.
Oh, 3 songs, yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of other plans in the future that are coming.
Now that you can look back on Eurovision, what is your most vivid memory of that 2 weeks that sticks out? She's closing her eyes to remember.
I'm closing my eyes. And of course, the final. But then I remember also this super good taco that I ate.
Where was the taco?
I remember I was so tired and so hungry. And then I came to the like type place where we worked and rehearsed in the hotel. And then they had this birria taco that I ordered. And I ordered like 6 and I could not, of course, eat 6. But I was so hungry that, you know, the eyes always want more. And that was so good.
What was in it? Chicken, beef, veggie?
I think it took both chicken and beef.
Chicken and beef, because it was needed for that moment.
3 and 3, you know, like 3 with chicken and 3 with beef.
Yeah. So that is your most vivid memory of Eurovision, the most amazing taco.
No, no. It was the final. But then next to it, I would say that also the taco has a great spot.
You came 5th. What a result.
What a result. Yeah, really. I'm so happy.
Because after the jury vote came in, I can't remember where you were, but it was the public vote that sent you right up the leaderboard. Yeah. So at that halfway stage...
The jury didn't like me.
But at that halfway stage, how were you feeling? And then what was it like to get that massive amount of points from the public?
I just felt the love, like immediately. I just felt the people are with me. And that's what's the most important thing. I could have even come 10th, but with 0 jury votes. But with the people standing next to my side, like right there and supporting me, that's everything I needed and need.
Is it one of those things where it does feel a bit of a blur at times?
You don't remember anything. You're like, no, there's no way. Like, you have so many emotions and there's no control over your body. Like, you could pee on yourself from the second to another one. No, I'm always exaggerating.
How many people have contacted you, got in touch, spoken to you on the street about how much they love Queen of Kings?
A lot of people have showed a lot of love. And I'm so grateful. And it's... And also just being able to live. I have this book, this gratitude book.
Okay.
I always write I'm trying at least to write every night everything that I'm grateful for, which is a lot. So I can't always write everything, but at least try. And one of the things that is most written in there is just thank you for that I can live my dream, and for that I can live with music, by music, together with music. And I could never see myself doing anything different. And I knew the universe wants me to do this. It just takes time sometimes to understand it. The logo is and was United by Music. I love that our year had that.
I definitely had a few tears at Eurovision and goosebumps as well. Yeah. Goosebumps is probably my overriding. Yeah. It's just a sense of warmth and everyone just loving being there.
Yeah, but that's the thing with concerts. It's not only the performer, it's everyone. Everyone who is in there is creating such a big energy, and that everyone is getting that energy. Everyone is feeling that energy, and that's why you feel so great at a concert. If you have a performer that does not share that, then you will not have that type of feeling. It's like it is everyone. It's not only the one on the stage, it's not only the audience, it's everyone together.
How long after the final did it take you to watch your grand final performance back?
I haven't.
Have you not?
No. Are you crazy? No, my God, no. I would just look at the details and everything. I was like, oh, why did I do that? Oh, my God. I don't want to do that. Oh, my God.
You'll have to watch it one day, surely.
Yeah, I'll show my grandchildren. No, I will do it. I think you need just a little bit space to work on everything else. And then one night you watch. I think it takes time. I don't know. Did people watch them?
So we're just in a room and the lights have gone off. So now we're doing this interview in complete pitch darkness.
Oh my God. The
lights had just come back on. That was kind of weird, wasn't it? It was like Eurovision before you're on stage, you know, where everything goes down and then suddenly, oh, I have to sing.
Oh my God.
No, I think that you'll be with a group of friends and you'll have one of those nights where YouTube goes like on the telly or the laptop.
And we're going to have a birria taco.
Yeah, yeah. You'll have a beef and chicken taco. And at first you'll think, no, I'm not going to put my own video on. And then after you've had a few drinks and everyone's like, relax a little bit, you'll be like, watch this, and you'll put it
on.
Oh
my God. I got no idea how it's going to happen. And that's the beautiful thing about life. But I know that I won't be drunk for that, because I want to enjoy it.
You want to have that moment.
I want to have that moment. I want to look at that moment and I want to be like, wow.
That happened.
Yeah, that happened. And that happened. And it's going to be interesting to see where in life I'm going to be. That's maybe the reason why I haven't watched it. Because it's just been 6 months. So like the place in my life is, of course, a little bit... It's gone forward, of course, and it's getting it better and better. But still, it is attached to Eurovision. And I want to see maybe in a few years when I'm maybe, of course, always remember that it's Alessandra, Queen of Kings and everything, but also Alessandra the artist, because I know that's gonna be that. So when I'm going to be that and look back and I'm going to be like, that started everything.
Oh my God. Who was the funniest person at Eurovision?
San Marino, Marco.
Marco from Peak Jacks.
The Peak Jacks, yeah.
Yes. Funniest person.
He made me laugh so much.
The kindest person at Eurovision.
Karia. And Karia.
The most outrageous person at Eurovision.
Outrageous? Me? No, I don't know. Outrageous doesn't mean like angry or...
No, like just out there, wild, like loud.
Dublin.
Eh? Wild Youth, Ireland.
Wild Youth, yeah.
Oh, they were the most outrageous.
They were crazy.
Yeah. Loudest person at Eurovision.
Loudest person.
You.
I think maybe. maybe. What was it? Oh, I don't remember the song of Cyprus.
Andrew Lambrew.
I think it was him because he was like, "You can make a number." Like it was.
That's pretty good.
I always heard that.
That's a good cover for your sets in the future, without a doubt. Alessandra, so good to talk to you. So good to catch up. So nice to see you 6 months after Eurovision.
Oh my God, yeah.
And good luck with everything you do.
Thank you so much.
Hi, here is Andrei. I represent Romania. Last year, oh my God, time flies so fast. I just did the rebranding, so now I'm like Andrei Ursu, like my birth name, because I was, when I started my project, I choose this, in Romanian, it sounds super simple, it's WRS, and you read it Urs, you know, this is my nickname, but everybody in Europe was like, WRS, in Spain, especially, they were like, WRS, and I was like, oh my God, it's so hard to read, so if I want to be international, I have to go, with my birth name, so I did this rebranding, and now... Still, everybody was calling me Andrei before, but now it's like officially Andrei. So here's Andrei. Oh my God, that was a long speech.
Wait, so you are officially Andrei now?
Yeah, I'm Andrei. Andrei is the brand.
The brand, love it. My first question, my most obvious question, how many people since Eurovision have said to you, Hole me bebebe?
Oh my God, everybody. Even my friends, my close friends. This is the most, please, not you. My close friends, they were calling me and they were like, no, just give me a break. I want to, like, on the stage, imagine, I sang this song for, I don't know, hundreds of times before Eurovision and now after Eurovision. I love the song. It's like my bebebe, the song. But everybody was calling me Hola mi bebebe. But I don't hate it. I love it and I assume it because I wrote that song and it's like part of my soul. So Hola mi bebebe, I think is going to stick with me forever, and I have nothing against it.
Sometimes when my housemate comes home, he goes, "Hola mi bebebe." Still now.
That's so sweet. When I when I applied for the Romanian selection, I had this song. I mean, I had several songs, and I chose this one. And now I feel so, so grateful that I chose this song because it has this catchphrase. I didn't know that it will be so catchy, you know? And everybody goes, hola mi bebe, hola mi bebe. But, you know, I'm grateful. And this catchy phrase, it pays my rent, so...
Yes, it pays your rent. So, job done.
Yeah.
What's life been like for you since Eurovision?
Oh my God, my life has changed. I was a super hardworking person before the Eurovision, but now I released an album. Now I'm writing another album in Romanian. I did a Romanian TV show where it's called Your Face Sounds Familiar, if you know the franchise. It's like you have to reenact, I don't know how to say it in English, other acts, you know, and I won two seasons. We filmed like two seasons of that TV show. All these things, like I toured all the Europe, I had so many concerts, and all these things happened because of the Eurovision, so my life changed. My life now is like before the Eurovision and after the Eurovision. I was talking several hours ago with Rosaline, and
from the same year as you.
Yeah. And we were like, oh my God, you know, before the Eurovision, we were like those kids, you know, like super naive and talking backstage. I know, I'm so emotional. And now I was talking. She sang, I mean, she toured the States and she sang she opened for Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran, that's amazing, isn't it?
That's amazing, and that's a proof how Eurovision can change your life, you know? Yeah, I love it, and you have to be like super focused, you know, because it's my job. I think I'm doing it well.
You're doing it really well, and it goes back to that decision you made to enter, you know, that you could have gone, no, not this year, or I'm not ready, but you go, yeah, I'm going to do it, and then everything changes.
Yeah, imagine, three weeks ago, I went again in the house. It's like a house, a cabin in the Romanian mountains, in the Carpathian mountains, where I wrote Hola mi bebe. And I remember the moment when I wrote Hola mi bebe. I was hungover, so when I wrote Hola mi bebe, and I remember that, and it's so crazy how I cannot say, like, when I write songs, I don't take myself so seriously. So, I was thinking, oh my God, that moment when I was like writing the melody, and then I was like mumbling, and then I added the lyrics. You know, that second just changed my life, you know, because I wrote that song. It's crazy when you're thinking about it, because you're not taking so seriously, and then that moment, that second, or that moment of inspiration is changing your life. It's like, whew, yeah, it's a lot.
I never knew that Eurovision moment came from a cabin in the mountains in Romania.
Yeah, imagine. It was like November, and it was like so cold outside. It was raining and all that. And I always write when it's winter. I write songs for the summer because I love summer. I love sun, and I want to get old on a beach with a Cuba Libre in my hand or a Negroni. I don't know.
A Negroni, definitely.
I love Negroni.
Me too.
Yeah, and I want to attract that way of living through my music, you know. And I was. It was so, so ugly outside. I hate winter. And I was like, oh my God, I want to write a song, you know, like super summerish and super cheerful. And I wrote this song. So, yeah, thankful to the...
What do you think is the biggest door that's been opened for you?
The biggest door is not like professionally. It's more like me as a person, you know. I know how to say in English, you know, that... Cum se spune, sorry. Cum se spune sindromul impostorului? You know?
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah, imposter syndrome, you know?
You felt like you had imposter syndrome.
Yeah. And afterwards, I felt like, okay, so I worked so hard this year. So now I always tell my friends, if you work super hard, you deserve things to happen to you. You don't have to be like, oh my God, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve this. And this changed me, and I can feel it, you know? Because now when I enter into a room, I'm like, I keep my spine like super
straight.
You know, straight, and I'm super, you know, and this is like,
you can hold your head high.
Yeah.
Puff out your chest.
Yeah. I also do therapy. It's not just because you're with Eurovision, but do therapy. It's super important to do therapy. But it changed me a lot. It changed me a lot, this experience as an artist, as a person. Yeah, I love it. And now I love that I'm part of this community. When I finished the Eurovision in 2022, I was like, okay, so that's it. But I will always be part of this community, and it's so nice to celebrate like diversity, and I love being European, you know, and celebrating being European through music and art. It's like, it blows my mind. So
you deserve it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Alika, so good to see you. How you been?
I've been really great. Yeah, thank you. It's good to see you also. It seems like it's been like 100 years ago, but at the same time, it feels like it was yesterday. It's a really weird feeling. It's just, I think it's always in my heart, and it will be. So it's kind of daily life now.
How much did Eurovision age you?
Age me?
No, age.
Age me. Oh, actually, I don't know, because I think a little bit, yes, because I feel more like a woman, maybe.
We're here in Amsterdam, where you're going to be singing tonight. You are in the outfit from Eurovision night, the outfit.
Yes, this is the first time when I wear it, actually, after the Eurovision, because, of course, I had some performances with Bridges only in Estonia and everywhere, but I just didn't felt like it. And I think today, I just before the trip, I thought that I think this is the concert where I'm gonna wear the Eurovision outfit.
The outfit. So where's it been? Just in storage at the back of the wardrobe?
Yes, exactly. In two cases. And just
two?
In two cases. I don't know why. I think my stylist just really wanted it to be safe in the luggage from Liverpool.
So over the summer, I was thinking of collaborations, right? And can you remember Eminem and Dido, Stan? My tea's gone cold, I'm wondering why.
Yes, yes.
Right, and Eminem. I was thinking, could there be a Karia and Alika collaboration, being neighbours and all?
Yes, I was thinking about it. Yeah, I think that would be really, really crazy and party, of course, because it's, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. But on my upcoming album, for example, I have a feature with Bess. Bess is from the... 2 years ago was the pre-selection on the Eurovision from Finland, and she had the second place with Rapapapam.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yes, yes. She's a really great performer, and she has like this rocky voice as I have. So we have a track together, which I'm really excited about. But yeah, I'm really looking forward for the future. Maybe some new collaborations with the Eurovision artists. Why not?
What's it been like working on your album?
It was intense, but I think the most hardest thing for me was to pick up the name for the album, which is like really absurd, you know. If you're an artist, I always thought that if you're an artist and you have an album coming up, it's the easiest thing that you can do, you know, pick up the name for the album, because you feel like, I don't know, a window, and then it is window. But for me, we had all the different options, because I was thinking about releasing an album since I was nine. I had a video, also video interview with my dad, and then I said that my debut album will be Piece of Peace, like Piece of Peace. But of course, it doesn't sound really good, you know, if you say it in English.
I love it already, Piece of Peace.
But yeah, unfortunately, it's not the name of the album, because at the end, I just decided that it could be just self-titled, you know, because it's the easiest thing. But at the same time, it was the hardest to think about it, and now I'm really happy about it, because, you know, Alika is little me who was doing this interview with his dad about debut album since I was nine, and you know, Alika right now, the woman who I intend to become, you know, the strong woman. So I think this is the right name for the album. They're all also like diaries. My diary is when I write also that, hello diary, my name is Alika, I'm, I don't know, 11 years old, and my debut album name would be... And at this time, it was reflection of myself.
I love the fact you've got all these names, but no, I'm going to settle on Alika. The yes. simplest, but the biggest statement, which is nice.
Yes, exactly.
Going back to the night of the final, what's your most vivid memory of that night?
When I got 12 points from Latvia, because, you know, like, four or five or three, I don't know, I don't remember exactly, like cameras pointing on different people, different contestants. And I remember that when I got those 12 points, I was already happy because it was my childhood dream, you know, when I was just, you know, imagining that I'm there on stage and someone's giving me 12 points and I'm like, yay! So it happened in real life. Yes, I think I was like, you know, really excited just about the fact that I got 12 points from some country.
And then the rest of the night was a blur, and then you came eighth.
Yes, yes, I was manifesting it actually, because, you know, bookmakers were like, oh yeah, you don't have explosions and drums and electric guitar solos and all that. I wasn't looking at the bookmakers at this time, but, you know, I kind of knew where I was. But I was like, oh, no, I'm not worth it. I'm worth top 10. And I was like telling this to myself with all the love that I had and, you know, just believing in myself. I like to think that way. But at the same time, I'm really happy that I became eighth. It's a huge proudness to my country. And it was amazing to come home with this result and, you know, to just see Estonian people being happy. That was amazing. I think the greatest gift that I received after I came to Estonia, it was that I knew that actually, you know, I haven't been home for 2 weeks and I'm living alone. And I was like, my home was such a mess when I left it. And, you know, I was thinking.
And it was still a mess when you got back.
No, that was the greatest gift, that actually my mom, she has the key for the apartment, and she went there before my arrival and she cleaned up everything like perfect. And I didn't want to go home, you know, because it was such a mess. But then they were like, oh, no, let's go to your home. Let's go to your home. I was like, why? But okay, you know. And then I entered and it was like perfectly clean. And I was like, this is the best gift that I received.
It wasn't the fact you'd come eighth. It wasn't the fact that your parents were happy for you. They'd cleaned your apartment.
I think, yeah, the greatest gift, of course, is the eighth place. And yes, but I mean, when I came back to Estonia, this was the greatest gift.
The next few months are going to be so busy, as we know, because we've got the rest of the artists to be selected and revealed. Plus their songs, we've got the national finals where they're taking place. Then it becomes pre-party season. Then we are off to Malmö in Sweden with the grand final taking place on the 11th of May. I cannot wait. You cannot wait. We all cannot wait. It's going to be so, so good. So here is to 2024, another fantastic year for the Eurovision Song Contest, and thank you for listening as always. We will see you very soon.